like to call the State Government Finance Committee meeting to order. And welcome to the committee. We've got a number of projects to listen to today. We will not be acting on any one project today, but we will be laying them over for possible inclusion into the recommendations going forward to the bonding bill. And I just ask that all people testifying today, that they sign in to the log sheet of who has testified before the committee. And the first bill that we have today up is Representative Anderson, House File 156. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House File 156 is the World War II Memorial Bill. It bonds $500,000 or whatever amount you wish to build the facility. It creates a memorial to the outstanding service and lives lost in the Great Civil War of all time. Memorials honoring Vietnam and Korean War veterans and Capitol grounds, but none expressly honoring those who served in World War II. There were 406,000 lives lost nationally in World War II as compared to 55,000 Korean conflict and 109,000 in Vietnam era. 6,462 Minnesotans lost their lives in World War II. We were the 16th largest loser of human life. New York and Pennsylvania were the big losers with 31,000 and 26,000, respectively. It is indeed fitting and timely that we treat this memorial for between 1,215 World War II veterans are dying each day. That's all saying, I think. I believe that Governor Polendi endorses and will sign the bill and shall pass in the law. It is interesting to note the change in attitude of the American people today. Today, if a soldier has to stay overseas for 18 months, public opinion sends him home. But it was nothing for a soldier to spend 4 long years overseas in World War II. There's a great difference there in philosophy. We have us today, Commissioner Bethany, Mike Belisi, who will describe and support the project.
Thank you,
Mr. Belisi, can you identify yourself for the record?
Mr. Chair, members, Mike Belisi, Deputy Commissioner, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. You should all have handouts that will provide a brief description of the design concept and what the designer's interpretation of the design means, also with an image of the design. So I won't get too in-depth regarding the actual design unless you would like to. Paul Mandel and Nancy Stark from the Capitol are here to provide a picture board too, so you can take a closer look at it, that gives a little bit better image of the winning design. I was just going to run through quickly where we're at to date as far as funding goes and a timeline of the project. The project is estimated to cost about $1.1 $5 million. To date, the Department of Veterans Affairs has raised approximately $450,000. That's combined with the $150,000 matching grant we received through the 2000 legislature. So we have about $600,000 right now. This additional $500,000 in bonding money would pretty much put us right at about the target where we need to be. We are still continuing to raise funds. They're coming in slowly, but they're still coming in. The design was chosen on December 5th, and we unveiled the winning design, which is behind us, on December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day. We received a lot of praise from many of the veterans that were in attendance. Right now, we're hopeful to possibly have a groundbreaking ceremony around Veterans Day of this year, and shortly thereafter, begin construction and dedication.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Anderson, you made a comment about 40 long years in service. We had an airman who was over in Saudi Arabia, just got back recently, and he said he served 4 months, and he said he couldn't imagine his grandfather serving 4 years.
Yeah.
He said, I just had a hard time fathoming that. So it's quite an analogy that you made and that he made. But it was a long war, and I know my dad served the whole time.
Yeah.
So
it's unconscionable what they went through.
Mm-hmm.
4 long years away from your family and
yep.
your kids and everything.
Yep. Yeah. It's just it was a tough time for everybody. So,
but there was a different attitude in society at that time.
Yes.
Every one of us enlisted,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to fight. because he bombarded our Navy over in Pearl Harbor.
Yep, that was. I had an opportunity to go to Normandy Beach this last summer. Quite impressive.
Yeah.
Quite impressive. Any questions or comments? Okay. I think I think it's a very honorable and a noble project, and I think it's time that we move forward and honor the people from World War II.
Okay.
So, long overdue.
If you have any questions or any other questions, please feel free to contact
okay.
me.
Okay. We'll do that. Thank you very much. Okay. We do have a quorum finally, so did you have a question, Representative Paymer? Okay. We do have a quorum, so we'll officially call the meeting to order then. And we have the minutes from the February 11th meeting. And Representative Newman, do you?
I so moved.
You so moved. Okay. Well, Representative Newman approves the minutes for February 11th. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion then prevails. Next item then is House Files. Is there, he's not here? Well, then let's go to Military Affairs. So we have General Shalito and Colonel Lord.
Discussion on it.
Yeah. Welcome, and if you identify yourself for the record.
My name is Larry Shalito, Adjutant General for the State of Minnesota.
And my name is Tom Presley, Department of Military Affairs.
May I proceed?
Sure, Hans. We are here today to give this committee an overview of our capital bonding request and answer any of your questions. To do this, I brought my subject matter expert, Tom Presley. He's full-time and works with us. Let's turn it over to him.
Sure. Mr. Presley.
Chairman Hans, members of the committee. Our request this year, this biennial year, is for four items. Basically, the top four asset preservation items for backlog and maintenance repair. You should have before you our booklet on backlog and maintenance repair. On the third page in is a summary, looks like this, that shows all of the locations that we have. We have 63 Army facilities and 9 OMSs, which is basically vehicle maintenance facilities scattered throughout the state. If I could maybe point out a couple of things that you can see, the total backlog of items that need repair at $26 million, a little over $26 million. However, we have work in progress as we speak in construction under construction contract of about $12.8 million. 2 years ago, you gave us approximately $5 million worth of money. We were able to leverage an additional amount of money from the federal government to match the matching funds, and those vary anywhere from 75% federal, 25% state, to 50-50 state and federal matching shares. The asset preservation is our number one request, which is, of course, to reduce that backlog for maintenance repair. This biennium, we're also including in that request that in the past we received CAPRA funds. So you see that is a little bit larger than we've had in previous years. The second item is for facility life safety items. This is to add fire alarm and fire sprinkler systems where none have existed previously. So we're trying to bring our buildings up to meet as best we can modern building code. This is very important because of overnight sleeping we have in some of our buildings because of when we have drill weekends for our soldiers and for other emergency situations that we have where these buildings are used in emergency situations because of weather-related items. And then number three is our indoor range abatement and conversion. Presently we have about 18,000 square feet of space within 9 facilities that we are unable to use because it's contaminated by lead dust from indoor firing ranges that are no longer being used. And our hope is to be able to clean those and then convert that space into either office or our classroom space. And then the fourth item we have are improvements to bring our buildings up to ADA level, so that we can have use by all members of our community. And I think that in the past, we've been able to use these dollars in a great way, so that, as probably many of you know, that a lot of our buildings serve as community centers in all the communities that they have or are in throughout the state of Minnesota. With that, I'll entertain any questions you may have.
I have one question for you. With the indoor ranges, we have the range at Ripley, which is for police training and for close quarter training and things like that. Is there, and those are all lead bullets that are being shot in there, is there a problem with that, or how are we remedying that issue?
That building is an indoor facility, mm-hmm. and it's climate controlled, and all of the, that has to be cleaned from time to time, when you have the backs and so forth. And it also has HEPA filters on the air handling mm-hmm. units and systems.
And the other indoor ranges, they've never been cleaned, or the lead traps?
The interiors have never been cleaned. We have now cleaned all the exterior, for example, the roofs and any of the ground around them.
Okay.
That's all been taken care of. So in a sense, the lead dust and so forth has been kind of trapped in the building itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Finally, do you have a rank? Have you ranked these projects on your asset preservation within, you know, you have alphabetical listing, but do you have a ranking as far as priorities?
Yeah, in terms of which sites?
Yes, which ones do we really need to do and which ones?
Actually,
don't tell me all. Okay.
Maybe I could give you a clue, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Just the last time when we did in 02,
okay.
we have got 15 buildings. Of these buildings, 15 of them are now under construction or will be covered.
Okay.
We are anticipating, if we are to receive the same type of funding, that we could probably be in that range of 10 to 15 more facilities that we can bring up to standard.
Okay.
And we are, in fact, going out next week to start to look at the facilities that we've identified. And quite frankly, they're in all four corners of the state and in between.
Okay.
We do try to batch them in terms of geographical location, so we have at least two to three kind of in close proximity, so it makes it kind of a good scale in terms of size of project, both for the designers and for the constructors.
Okay. Other questions? Representative Rhodes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site here at the Capitol, the Armory here, the Community Center Armory, is there any long-range plans for that facility because of its location on the Capitol campus?
Mr. Buster?
Mr. Chairman, we intend to keep using that facility as long as we can in terms of until it can be replaced in one form or another. We have the building is basically full with units right now, so it is being used to its maximum in terms of numbers of people both during the weekend and drill weekends.
Follow up, Representative. Okay. Mr. Vesely, is there federal funds available for asset preservation for these buildings? Because they're multi-purpose buildings. So are we leveraging federal funds?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, yes, we are. And they come in a variety of percentages. And I'll try not to bore you with it. But basically, if I could use the example of the O2 dollars, they were approximately 70% federal, 30% state. And like I mentioned before, sometimes it's 75-25 federal state, sometimes it's 50-50. It depends upon what's actually being renovated. And that's based upon the federal, how the feds will participate.
Okay.
And that's why we were able to leverage, you know, about $5 million in state into about $12 million.
Okay. And then are all these, would you be looking at prioritizing these as far as leveraging, maximum leveraging of federal funds then? Is that how we would go through this process?
Yes, Chairman, yes.
Okay. Other questions? Okay. All right, I guess at that point, we will look at this and as we go forward in the process to prove what we can in the bill. All right, thank you very much. Representative Howells?
I've got a brief announcement. In your packets, members, is the fee from or the report from the Campaign Finance Public Disclosure Board. Please leave that in your packets. We are going to take that up tomorrow, but we thought we'd distribute it today. If you want to take it out, look at it, read it tonight, you're welcome to do so, but please bring it tomorrow. Thank you.
Representative Howells.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If the chairman would be supportive, just do a bill out for you.
We have 1604. We're not moving any bills. We're just...
Okay, that's fine. Mr. Chairman and members, I'm going to go directly to Mr. Fisher here. He is going to explain what we're going to do, what we're going to try to do. And I believe we have one more person possibly that has tried and can understand the question.
Okay. Mr. Hunter, identify yourself.
Mr. Chairman, what you have before you is a request for funding. The appropriation in the bill is in the blank, but in working with the Capital Access Planning Board, we will be asking for an appropriation of $400,000 for a workers' memorial. And I want to stress, although I represent the Minnesota AFL-CIO, this is not a memorial for union workers. This is a memorial for all workers who died at the job, regardless of union status, regardless of occupation, because the fact of the matter is, throughout the history of the state, there's been thousands of people who have left home and gone to work and never got back home. And although we've made great strides in workplace safety, unfortunately, that still happens all too often. I would like to call or invite Dave Rowe, who has been really working hard on this project, and allow him to say a few words if that's your... Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Hunter, would you identify yourself for the record, sir?
My name is Steve Hunter. I represent the Minnesota AFL.
Okay. Mr. Rowe, if you would like to come up and identify yourself for the record, you may proceed. This is a beautiful picture. We can actually see green grass and trees.
Right in the front is our...
is where you're going to put it.
Where we're going to put it. And the assistant director of the... Cat board are here,
okay.
Which would explain.
I need to have you identify yourself for the record, who you represent first.
Yeah,
thank you.
Regardless, well, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you. I've done this before. This isn't my first time appearing before one of the committees, although it's been several years that I've had this. The last 3 or 4 years, we have been working on a workers' memorial on the state capitol grounds. We've appeared numerous times before the CAP board, and it's taken about 3 years for us to get to this point. We've been very, very pleased to have the support of the CAP board, but I guess we just have to wait our turn. You know, you've had the police, you've had the fire, Vietnam, Korean, Roy Wilkins, the women, and now World War II. And I really support the World War II Memorial, and I'm one of those that spent 4 years in the Pacific from 1942 until 1946. So I know when Representative Anderson is making his pitch. Very, very important. There's a number of people. First, I want to thank Jeff for the author of our bill, and Steve Hunter from the AFL-CIO, who supports our project. Russ Fridley, Cy Carpenter. I don't know how many of you people can remember Cy Carpenter, but Cy Carpenter was the president of the Farmers Union here in Minnesota for a number of years, went on to be national president of the Farmers Union, and now is assisting us in this endeavor. Also, Russ Fridley. we're requesting $400,000, which we will match. We presently have a grant from the federal government of $150,000. We've raised approximately $60,000. And of course, after we proceed in getting more information with architects and others and put on a big drive, we'll be able to raise whatever additional funds are necessary to make this a match. And we will be successful. I might indicate, if it's for your information, the trades in St. Paul had a match of 4-1 for the ice palace over there. And these were all trades people from all over the state, basically the metropolitan area, that went over and helped put this, together. These are the same people that we would be seeking to assist us in services in kind. A young man here, Mark Wickstrom, is a master stone cutter, and you also notice in your a brochure with regards to masonry. One of the things that the CAP board would like to have something with easy maintenance, and with this and stone, we think we can accomplish accomplish that.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the testifier? Representative Rhodes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Where is this going to go on the campus?
There are representatives here from the CAP board that could probably better explain that. I can show you where it's going to be, but they can show you the
project. Mr. Chair, Paul Mandel, principal planner for the CAP board and the project manager. The site that's been approved from the CAP board is in the southeast corner, just above what used to be Columbus, and down at the bottom of Cedar Street. There may be three gardens, and this would be the third space down at the very bottom of the hill, right by where there's a bus shelter currently, with access points off of Columbus and off of Cedar Street.
Mr. Chairman, what's next to it? Besides that, I know there's a bus shelter now, but what? You said there's other discussions?
To the west, you'd have the Korean Memorial. Okay. And then this is where the World War II Memorial is going to be discussed. To the south of it, across the Columbus Walk, several parking lots and the Peace Officer Street Memorial.
Okay. Follow up, Representative Rhodes?
No.
Do we have a design of what this is going to look like, Mr. Mandel?
Mr. Chair, right now we are in the process of going forward with a designer selection as opposed to design. We would secure the services of a design team, and they would be working with the CAP board and with the client group so that we, as opposed to the normal process where we select and get a design, they'd be working through the process, and as the budget is evolved, we select we work on the design in an evolutionary manner.
Okay. Other questions from members? All right. Thank you. What we'll do is lay this over and work on it for inclusion, possible inclusion in the final bill.
Mr. Chairman, if I could.
Yes, sir.
He came a little ways. Could I have Cy Carpenter address this committee just for a few minutes?
Cy? Welcome to the committee, Mr. Carpenter. If you identify yourself for the record.
My name is Cy Carpenter from Bloomington, Minnesota. I appreciate very much the opportunity to be with you. I recognize you have a full schedule. Principally, I'd just like to indicate our strong support from rural people for all workers throughout the state. And in this fast-paced world that we live in, we get so caught up in what we're doing and where we're going. Sometimes we don't take enough time to recognize where we're coming from and what are some of the values that are basic not only in our everyday life, but to our total well-being in the country and as a whole. I would appreciate the recognition of that support from the rural community as you go forward on this project.
All right. Thank you very much. And for the people who testify on your bill, Representative Howell, could we have them sign in on the sheet so we know who testified, Mr. Rowe, I think, has to, I don't know if he signed in either. Okay. Are there other questions or comments on this bill? All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. With that, okay, we'd have the CAP board come up and comment on these projects. Welcome to the committee. Identify yourself for the record. You're welcome, former Lieutenant Governor. It's nice to see you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Nancy Stark. I am Executive Secretary of the Capital Area Architectural and Planning Board. And today I have with me former Lieutenant Governor Joanne Benson and also Paul Mandel, Principal Planner of the Capital Board. We thank you very much for this opportunity to give you an overview of our capital budget request. I think, as you know, the CAP Board is a bipartisan small agency. We have a 10-member board, which is chaired by the Lieutenant Governor, and we represent candidates selected by the Mayor of St. Paul as well as the Governor. We have a staff, a very small staff of four. And we not only service the board, but we are also serving the newly created Capital 2005 Commission, which, as you are probably finding out, is a commission appointed by former Governor Ventura to plan the celebration of the Capital's 100-year birthday, as well as to secure private endowment for the Capital's future maintenance and some of the construction projects, hopefully, in the very near future. I'll go through very briefly our capital budget requests. We had three this year. The first is one that we've brought to you before. I think this is the third time that I brought it forward. It is the design money for the full interior restoration of the Capitol building. The building has had approximately 15 years and $28 million of exterior restoration work. And now we, per our pre-design done in 2001, are coming forward for design monies to complete out the interior restoration. This, of course, is a very primary design concern for us and request. This will enable our 2005 commission to understand or to develop projects that would then hopefully secure some private funding for their future. The second request is broken down into two pieces. It is painting and plastering the floors G through 2 in the Capitol. As you may remember from 2 years ago, we were awarded monies to restore these public corridors and ceilings. To go back to restore the complete painting and replastering of these areas. We were about 2 weeks away from letting bids on this particular piece of work when the money was unallotted last February. So we are bringing this back forward again as a general fund request. The painting and plastering then of floors 3 and the dome are the second part of this second request. This the governor has recommended. He sees this as a project that could perhaps be done. A portion of it could be done before the 2005 celebration. The third floor is a possibility to be done. The dome is not, simply because of the scaffolding necessary and the amount of deterioration to the dome. This is a much larger project. The governor is also recommending that there be private dollars raised for the other floors, G through 2, to be done. And he's recommending that to the board. And then lastly is our capital signage request. This includes all restoration to the signage inside the Capitol building, as well as major monument signage to the exterior of the Capitol Mall. And this request also was brought forward. I think it's been brought forward just about every year that I can remember. And it was one that was highly stressed 2 years ago as being able to be completed prior to the 2005 celebration. So we are a little bit behind the curve in projects. As you can see, that would promote the celebration and some restoration to the Capitol building. But I would go back to that number one request, which is not just cosmetic, as some people may be thinking, but it is a total redo of the infrastructure of the building, the mechanical, electrical, heating, and ventilating systems of the building. The systems are old, and they do need to be replaced. And some of it is by code. We have issues, particularly, as I said before, in the east wing of the Capitol. I've asked former Lieutenant Governor Benson to join us to speak on behalf of the 2005 commission.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joanne Benson, just citizen. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I do belong to the member of the Capitol 2005 Commission. And before that, in my term as Lieutenant Governor, chaired the CAP Board and found that to be an extremely interesting and wonderful part of my job. We come every day, those of us who have had the privilege of serving here, to the most beautiful building in the state, and the idea of preserving that and all of the state buildings is a very important one, and one I really appreciated. And in fact, going back to that signage issue that was just mentioned by Nancy Stark, that was the first issue I heard. That was about 9 years ago, I think. In front of that committee, that they were just presenting what they could do with signage and some of the ideas that we could have. So that's been on the table for a long time. But I'm talking to you as a member of the Capitol 2005 Commission because we have two missions in this group. And one is to plan a very wonderful celebration, and you'll all be a part of that celebration in the centennial year 2005. And then as a part of that, to ensure the restoration of the Capitol building for the near term for that celebration, but also for the long term, and the preservation into the next 100 years. The legislators at the time our Capitol building was built took great risk, I'm sure, in proposing such a building. And we have been indebted to them ever since that they did that. And I think that now it's time for us to make sure that we keep that building solid and beautiful and workable into the future. And that's why we need this, the money for this, the large design. Because as we go out as commission members and search for private dollars to supplement, I say, what the state does, we can only do it if it is a supplement. They won't probably say, yes, we'll fund the whole thing if our own body doesn't do it as well. So that's one issue. And then the second one is that we need to be able to go out and sell specific projects. And those projects will come from this overall design of what needs to be done in a planned way into the future so that we don't get behind something that's very important. I do remember a time when I was Lieutenant Governor and we were looking at the issues that we've already taken care of. But when we got down into the infrastructure under the building, we could actually poke holes in the metal that was supporting us. And we've taken care of getting that fixed, the apron around and all of that sort of thing. But imagine that if those things aren't done on a timely basis, what would happen to our Capitol building? So I just urge you to, you know, consider the request that it's important that we take action now so that in the future we can be proud, particularly when we have our big celebration on 2005. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Any questions from any of the members? All right. Ms. Stark, I noticed that for the design of the and the renovation for the Capitol, we're looking at almost $50 million.
Yes.
And that's just heating and electrical?
In terms of what we have for the design is about $1.2 million. Mm-hmm. And then $500,000, making a total request of $1.5 million. The $500,000 is to study the expansion space required when we do the restoration for the Capitol. The CAP Board is advising that we shut down wings of the Capitol building in order to do complete efficient restoration. So therefore, we also need to study the potential for expansion space or relocation space during that interim. And that's what makes up the other half of the with the other portion of the request.
But, Ms. Stark, your request in 2006 and 2008 is about $50 million.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For that, for the restoration, and you were mentioning that we have to update the electrical and heating, you know, also. But I assume there's a lot of other restorations that are going to be, take place before that money.
Yes, I think, though we haven't gotten into the depths of it yet, we know that there are lighting issues. We know that the east wing has fire and life safety issues. There are no sprinklers in the east wing. All of this is going to be analyzed through the design study. But, yes, it's a big ticket. And it's maintenance that I think, as long as I've been here, some of the projects have been requested, as former Lieutenant Governor Joanne Benson says, 8 to 9 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Mandel.
If I might add, Paul Mandel with the CAP Board, principal planner. One of the things that the pre-design had spelled out and is once you, it's, I don't know how many people have ever lived in the house with the old furnaces that took up virtually half the basement. So there is a lot of space in the basement that's currently occupied by antiquated systems, old systems that haven't yet been gutted. Some of the generators and such have been moved out, but a lot of the equipment that's down there, once it's moved out, we could gain a lot of space, a space equivalent to room G15 that you're all familiar with, right under the rotunda, could be duplicated in the basement space. A whole new way of handling visitors in a secure manner. The United States Capitol is spending over $300 million on a new visitor center to bring the visitors into a secured way, to have more hearing rooms, et cetera. So we gain a lot of space within the Capitol from this. As Nancy pointed out, fire and life safety issues have never been even started in the East Wing, but you have to move everyone out of one wing at a time to this kind of work, which is what Texas closed the entire Capitol down for 2 years. Wisconsin's handled one wing at a time over the space of 10 years. There's wholesale interior gutting and then rebuilding, so it's major work. It's not just modifying minor walls. That's a lot of the work is there.
So you're going to keep us away for 2 years so we don't do any damage, right? Give the people of Minnesota a rest, right? Okay. Any other comments or questions for these people? Okay. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your comments. All right. Any other comments or questions? Members, you'll see that we put the agenda for the next meeting on here and what we're going to be going through. Again, for the report from the Campaign Finance Board, if you take it home tonight, would you please bring it back tomorrow so we can go over that with Ms. Olson. So if not, meeting then is adjourned.